Thursday, April 19th, special guest in studio today. We're actually sitting in an office right now recording this, so we'll call it a studio. Brian Fisher, our Pac-12/recruiting blogger, is here. Still the Pac-12, or do they add more teams?
Well, they're at 12 right now. We never know. We've got some more meetings coming up. You know, there's always this talk, but 12 right now, and glad to be in the lovely Fort Lauderdale digs of CBSSports.com.
Yeah, it is lovely down here. Daris, what's up?
Not much. How are you? How are you feeling from last night?
I was a little sick last night, a little under the weather, but I was supposed to join you for trivia.
Yes.
At a local sports bar.
And we did.
We finished in second place, and guess what? You would have been first if I were there.
We finished 10 points behind based on point value, and we finished second, tied for second. But yeah, you should have been there.
What was a typical question?
You know, name the 7 most popular flowers on Mother's Day. They had science questions, TV questions. They played songs, and you had to name the artist. It was just a lot of stuff. But the final question was a baseball question. What's the minimum number of batters that can come in a 1-0 9-inning game? The answer is 52. Because it would be 48 batters through 8 innings, 3 in the top of the ninth, 51. The guy in the bottom of the ninth hits a home run, 52 batters.
Oh, the minimum.
Ah. It's pretty neat. There's a lot of fun stuff there. They had, you know, football questions, science, history, all kinds of fun stuff. You'll have to participate next time.
I'll try.
Get sick next time.
Now, Brian, I didn't even know this until about a week or two ago, but he's a big diehard Yankees fan.
Yep.
And a big Red Hot Chili Peppers fan.
Absolutely.
So that means, Darst, you are no longer my worst
right
best friend.
Yeah, those are Azer's 2 favorites, so I'm out, I guess.
Here we go. Let's start with the show and start talking college football. And send us an email, podcast@cbsinteractive.com. Send us an email unless it's one that sounds like this. No, just kidding. But, all right, Grant sent us an email, and it was a nice email with a critique. And actually, I love critiques. I love to know what you think we're doing well or what we need to do better. I get that you guys are in SEC country and that they are the undisputed heavyweight champions of the world, but give some love to other schools. You talked about a lot of schools in your April 12th podcast, but the only ones you had any real information about other than the article and discussion were SEC teams. Admit it, you phoned in the TCU spring game discussion. Your disinterest was palpable, and you offered nothing that could not have been said back in February. Compare that with the Florida discussion, and I think you might see the discrepancy I'm talking about. What did you think about that?
Well, first of all, I don't phone anything in.
Okay. I don't know about that.
Maybe 3 out of the 5 days at work I phone it in. But no, we didn't phone it in. But it's just the Florida was the hot topic then, the Urban Meyer stuff. But whatever. I agree. We like to talk about more teams. Mm-hmm. We don't always have the opportunity. Sometimes there's a big story. But sure. Again, users, listeners, send it in. If we don't talk about your team, tell us who you root for and tell us, you know, we may not talk about it. In fact, I may rip your team. In fact, now that's on my list. TCU,
no.
Make fun of.
I just like that he was like, oh, you're in SEC country down here in South Florida.
That's true. We're really not.
No, this is very an average sports town in ACC country. Let's be honest with that. You know?
Sure. That's a fair assessment. Yeah, well, Grant, thank you again for the email. If you want to hear your team talked about, podcast@cbsinteractive.com. Ask us a question, and we'll try to get to it on our next show. As far as TCU, we did mention that they should be able to throw the ball well, but they go into the Big 12 having maybe the best running game in the conference. We also said we're worried a little bit about their pass defense. You're going to want to keep an eye on that. We have so much to talk about today, including some spring game recaps from last weekend, looking ahead to some this weekend, and more Arkansas stuff. Oregon football players smoking marijuana? What? That is weird.
I'm shocked.
I'm shocked. Wait.
You could substitute any school name in there. Not
you mean a hippie school out west has some marijuana issues? I'm shocked.
Any football school, let's be honest here. A sporting news report says Arkansas will likely name its next head coach early next week. We talked a little bit about it last week, Brian, but who do you think could emerge, should emerge as a front runner for that job?
Well, by naming, they're going to name an interim head coach, and it's the guy that they have right now in Tabor Johnson. I don't see them. I think they've kicked the tires on some big names. I know there's a report about Pete Carroll and Steve Mariucci and some other guys like that, but they're not going to go that direction. They're obviously, it's just too far removed for a lot of coaches. That's a primo opening. A lot of guys want to be in on that. They're going to be able to pay a lot of money. It's an SEC job. Yes, you're competing with Alabama and LSU, and now you got Texas A&M in the mix and Missouri and other schools right there, but it's the facilities are there. It's a great job. They can get a big-time candidate, but they're going to have to wait until after the season.
Yeah, but I was going to say, that's fine. Why don't you just wait? Hire an interim guy, keep it, and go to the season, and then wait. Yeah, but there's going to be guys that are going to get fired in the offseason and
stuff. Do you think that UNC benefited by having an interim coach last year? Or do you think that their program took a step back?
No, but half of their players had already were suspended, and they already checked out. So, I mean, that was a different situation.
And that was a really different because it was like 4 weeks before the season. You know, that was a huge issue. Now they have time to prepare. They can go into the evaluation period, which is coming up. They can talk with recruits, talk about the program going forward. I think it just makes sense for them. Obviously, there's a lot of pressure on them this year. They get Alabama. They get LSU at home. A lot of the offense is back. You know, they do have to replace some parts. The defense is supposed to be pretty good. But at the end of the day, I think it's the right move as a program, and that's what Jeff Long, the AD, is going to do next week.
Former Texas quarterback Garrett Gilbert trying to graduate in May so he can enroll at SMU. He'll have 2 years of eligibility left, and if he could pull that off, he'll be able to play immediately.
Yeah, do you know he's taking 27 credit hours?
It's a lot of credit hours.
They said it's 9 classes, 3 of them are online.
9 classes, though?
Yeah, but 3 of them are online, so that's 3 A's. I mean, you know.
Can I just say something about America? enough of these online classes. It's ridiculous. Did you take online classes?
I never took an online class.
Did you?
No.
There was no such thing as online classes when I was in college.
Well, there you go.
No, we took a phone class.
I don't like it. It's like being on a conference call. Come on. You can't do that. Marijuana at Oregon. Yeah, so let's talk about that. And again, let's be clear here. College football players, college students, they use it. This is not an Oregon-specific issue. ESPN, the magazine, interviewed current and former Ducks and estimated that 40 to 60% of football players at the school use marijuana. So I think what was interesting was kind of the angle Brett McMurphy took on this, showing that as success has grown at Oregon, the leniency has grown as well. 2 years ago, a player was kicked off the team after his third positive test. Now it takes 4 positive tests. After the third positive, a player is suspended for half the season's games, and it can carry over to next season if a player's ineligibility is not over by the time the season ends.
4 strikes and you're out.
4 strikes. Yeah, that's the other thing. Like, even 3 strikes and you're out to me is too much.
Yeah,
because I don't think there were any suspensions until the third positive. Like, you should, after the second positive, I think we're talking about suspensions. But the point I would overall like to make on this here, the overall point I would like to make, let's put the words in the right place, this should not be a school-by-school thing. This should be an NCAA thing.
Of course it should.
Where every FCS school should play by the same rules, and that is the biggest problem I have with college football and rule enforcement. What do you think?
Oh, yeah, I completely agree with that point. I mean, no one's surprised that these players are doing that, especially at this school in particular. But, you know, there's a larger issue that you got to look at. And I think even in the case of Oregon, I think you have to look at things that and say, all right, well, if this is so prevalent going on there, how are they able to correct this? What needs to be changed? And then you also see what Brett was making a point of. All right, well, they kind of know about it, but now they're making it more lenient. And I think that's the issue that Oregon fans need to get over. Look, this is not something you should be doing if you're a student athlete there, not something you should be doing if you're a football player, especially during the season or during spring ball. You know, that's just like if you're a head coach or anything, you're just ripping your hairs out. Why are these kids doing that? You know, and I think more consistency across the board from a conference level to an NCAA level is going to be good going forward.
Listen, I like this way. This is my way. If you're a 5-star athlete, you have 5 chances. If you're a 4-star athlete, you have 4, 3. And then if you're a 1-star walk-on, your first strike, you're done, right? I mean, that's the way college football basically is. It's like you said, it just becomes more lenient as, well, hey, we're big time now, so we got to make sure our good players. It's college football is so corrupt. How can the sport that I love the most be such a disaster?
It's pretty bad, but pretty awesome at the same time. We had a great article, Tony Barnhart talking to Roy Kramer, former SEC commissioner. Did you read that one, Dodd? Darst?
Oh, you just called me Dennis Dodd.
No.
Oh, no.
I get, ouch, you know, your names are so similar. It's ridiculous.
Well,
he doesn't have the Tommy Bahama shirt
you
on.
Should see some of the names,
does,
you should see some of the names the users call us. Dumb and Dumber or Dumpst, Dennis Dumpst. And, you know, it's funny. But no, I did not read this article.
Okay, well, it was very interesting.
This must be one of the days I checked out. You know?
He was interviewing Roy Kramer, and Kramer had some interesting things to say. And, okay, basically he said, change is inevitable. We're going to have a playoff at some point, but be careful what you wish for. And he said that, my criticism of college basketball is that it has become a one-month sport. You just can't do that to college football. If you do, you break the foundation of college athletics, because football finances everything. The donor programs and all the stuff that people don't want to talk about is built around regular season football. That's just the way it is. I think he's saying, we want to protect the regular season here, and giving an example that college basketball regular season doesn't really do much, whereas the postseason does. But what do you think about that quote?
Well, here's the thing about college basketball. You're playing 30 games before you get to the tournament. In college football, you're only playing 12,
yeah,
maybe 13 on a rare occasion. Only six of those, you know, six or seven are at home. So there's a limited number of supply. People are interested in college football. They're not necessarily interested in getting up, making a big deal about going to a college basketball game, unless it's, you know, North Carolina and Kentucky coming into town.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, let's face it, you know, college basketball in general has attendance concern. There's still going to be 90,000 folks showing up at Bryant-Denny.
That's
exactly 100,000
game a week.
100,000 folks showing up at Bryant-Denny, no matter if there's a playoff or not. You know what matters in any sport is winning. And if a team is winning, they're going to do just fine regardless of a playoff. If they're not winning, then you know what? People aren't going to show up, and it's not going to be because of a playoff.
Yeah. I agree. Yeah. I mean, if you look at the regular season in the NFL.
Yeah.
That's the most popular sport in the country.
Yeah, and they always, the playoffs take away from the rate. No, it doesn't.
No, absolutely not. I don't buy this argument at all. Also, Kramer originally favored a four-team playoff that featured only conference champions. Now he says he believes the way to go is to pick the three highest-rated conference champions, and the fourth spot would be a wild card that would go to the highest-rated non-conference champion. I don't know why we have to get that specific. Why can't we just have the four highest-rated teams regardless of conference or regardless of whether or not they won the championship?
No, but he was saying before that it should all be conference champions.
I understand that, but why should the fourth team not be a conference champion? What if the fourth-best team in the country is the Pac-12 champion instead of the SEC number two?
Yeah, well, that doesn't make any sense, that whole 3-1. But I don't know. I have a feeling they're going to tie some conference championship thing to it.
And yeah, I could see like three out of the four is at minimum is a conference champion or something like that.
I just don't care if you're a conference champion or not. If you're the top four, if you're a top four team, you should be in the playoff. Keep the BCS and make a playoff out of the top four.
And I think going back to the earlier point about attendance concerns and what Kramer was kind of speaking towards basketball, the regular season is actually going to be more. You want to be undefeated and get that number one
right.
seed.
See, that's
you
what I
want
say.
To get. You want to have that semifinal at home. You know, and if you do lose a game, you're still in it. Mm-hmm. So people are still going to be interested in how well you do that next game when you're, you know, if you lose to Iowa State on the road, if you come back and blow out Texas A&M and your Oklahoma State, that's going to help your cause. So this playoff stuff, it's going to happen and it's going to be here. What form or shape it has and ultimately is still to be decided. The commissioners are meeting next week in Hollywood, Florida, and they'll meet again in Chicago, and we'll hopefully get some answers.
Did they book like the wrong Hollywood? Because I would never want to meet in Hollywood, Florida. It's not that nice of a place.
Yeah. Wonder where they're staying.
Well, because
they're staying at like La Quinta.
Yeah, the Bull Alliance meetings or something. You know, it's everybody's going to be there, and obviously Dennis Dodd and Brett McMurphy are coming down for it. But it's one of the bigger meetings, and they'll meet again in Chicago, and we'll go from there.
Be honest, Brian. Were you the one who shattered Alabama's national championship trophy?
It was not me. I was going to go to the spring game, but couldn't get a flight from Miami in time. But that certainly was an interesting.
Drive it. It's only 13 hours.
Only.
I've driven it before. When I went to school there for a semester, I had to drive. I couldn't make it all in one drive.
You went to University of Alabama.
Correct, for one semester.
No wonder you're such an SEC homer.
Yeah.
It comes out now.
Well, it's funny you say that because I love when I get emails from people who say, you hate us, you hate Alabama. And I say, no, I don't hate you. And then 2 weeks later is, why are you such an Alabama lover? Yeah.
I get that all the time.
Chris Peterson's new contract is for 5 years and just under $12 million. The contract will automatically extend for another season anytime Boise State wins 8 games in a year. So he'll basically be there forever.
Well, he can be there as long as he wants, basically.
That's a hell of a contract, 5 years and $12 million. I mean, for the school, that's about as school-friendly as you're going to get.
Yeah, I mean, he's vastly underpaid. What can you say? I mean, he's proven it before, and you know, it's going to be interesting going forward with this team, replacing so many guys, and obviously moving to the Big East next year. I think it's the challenge has been ratcheted up for Chris Peterson, but he's a fantastic coach, and I think he's in Boise for life.
Is he going to win the conference next year?
Yeah, I would assume so. Even with what they have coming back, you know, you're still talking about guys that were even highly recruited from what they were used to a couple of years ago. Guys that can play, they're still going to have some defensive linemen. They're still going to have some wide receivers and some secondary guys. It's going to be fine if you're a Broncos fan.
Are they going to win the conference?
Sure, why not?
West Virginia is why not.
No,
Louisville is why not. I love Louisville.
I'm a big Louisville fan in the Big East, yes.
Yeah, well, they got a lot of young talent. They showed that last year.
Offensive line coming along, too, from everything that I've been reading and heard. So that's a big issue for them. And if they can get the defense going, I think they got a really good chance.
You know, the most underrated thing that we don't talk about that much, we always talk about on-the-field talent. Some of these Big East schools flying cross-country to Boise is not going to be an easy trip.
No.
They've never done this before.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be interesting. But it's also, Boise's going to be flying across the country to play in the East.
Yeah, but they've done that. They've gone to Georgia.
Yeah, they've done that, but they do it at the beginning
right,
of the year.
I know.
They don't do it when there's, you know, when they just played one game on Saturday and now they got to fly. It's going to be different.
Yeah.
Of course, if you look at Boise's record the last couple of years, where have they struggled? They've had trouble at home. So, you know, they lost at home to TCU. They've struggled there. They had slow starts.
Yeah, but
before.
They won like 50 in a row at home.
Yeah, but they've had slow starts before against some not very good teams at home. And, you know, everybody says, all right, they were a little lackadaisical, you know, early on. And then, they score four touchdowns at the end. But, you know, I think it's much more of an issue for the other teams than for Boise State.
Sure. All right, you a video game guy, Brian?
Yes.
You're going to get NCAA Football 13?
Absolutely.
Are you?
No, it doesn't. I'm old school video game guy, okay? I have a PS2.
So you're playing Pong on that.
So I don't play much of that. And then I have a Wii, so my daughter and I can play games. They don't make the NCAA game for the Wii.
Robert Griffin III and Barry Sanders are going to be on the cover. That's all right. Think about that.
Can they do with the Xbox? And I don't know about the PS3, but you know, because they got the Kinect.
Oh,
can you like, you know, throw it like you're?
I don't know if they do it for that way. See, they don't make it for the Wii because the Wii's so kid friendly. It doesn't sell.
I played Punch Out on the Wii, like where you're punching.
Yeah, that's
fun.
That was
pretty fun.
Oh, Wii's great.
I'm a big fan of the golf.
I have tennis. I have golf. It's great.
All right, let's get on to the spring games here. We'll recap a few from last week and look ahead to a few that are coming up Saturday. Stanford, 5,000 people, Brian? That's it?
That's not surprising at all.
I know, it's not surprising, but come on, get on board.
I mean, number one, they were actually, you know, I think it was interesting that they were playing it in San Francisco at Keyser Stadium, and it was a little bit different setup for them than what they've been normal. But I think, you know, I mean, look, it's a weekend in the Bay Area. There's a lot to do there. Let's face it, Stanford hasn't been known for attendance. Even when they had Andrew Luck and were going to BCS games, Stanford Stadium still wasn't full. It's a small school. You got to keep, you know, remember this, that they only have a couple thousand undergrads. I mean, everybody knocks Stanford for their attendance, but they're one of the smallest BCS schools in the country. And so, you know, every time you do, make sure you remember that.
Okay. What is the smallest BCS school? TCU, isn't it?
No, TCU is a lot bigger than Stanford, I would think.
No, TCU is a big school.
Well, no, it's not. A big school. They don't have that many students there.
Boston College might be. I think they're very small.
Duke?
No,
yeah,
Duke's got a decent amount.
Stanford's got to be up
there. All right,
there,
well, if email the podcast email if you have the answer to this question.
Absolutely. So the defense won the Stanford scrimmage. 8 sacks And we think they're going to have a good defense. We've been saying that. Yeah. What do you think? You're a Pac-12 guy. So what do you think about Stanford? I mean, they go in there. There's no way they're one of the two best teams preseason. But I don't know. I guess you could consider them a sleeper.
Yeah, I think they have a chance to make a little noise in the North. I think it's going to be interesting. I've always pegged the Washington-Stanford game as a very big game in that North division for the Pac-12. But I think Stanford, I think they're going to be able to run the ball. They've got great running backs. They got yes, they lose some first-round picks on their offensive line, but they still got guys back that know how to play. Some other highly recruited guys coming in. I think they're going to be fine there. Quarterback, you know, you're looking at a guy that's going to be you know, really just kind of taking care of the offense. I mean, even last year they ran it, you know, 55% of the time, I think, even with Andrew Luck back there. So they're going to be fine on offense, and that's going to help out the defense, which is, you know, coming back. They've got the guys. I think they're going to be fully healthy. It's just going to be interesting. I think, you know, Chase Thomas in particular, he's really an underrated linebacker. I don't think a lot of people talk about him, but he's an all Pac-12 type performer, and I think he could have a big year, you know, getting other guys back. I think it's Stanford definitely underrated. A lot of people think they're going to take a big step back. I really don't, especially when you consider, I think the Pac-12 in general kind of got a little bit weaker than they were last year.
I like the coaches, though. They got a nice influx of good coaches, so that could help. But, yeah, USC, let's stay in the Pac-12. Wide receiver Devon Flournoy stepped up, and they are already loaded at wide receiver, so that's a scary thought. But another thing to take out of this is that the defense played well, and Brian, this team, we know a lot about their offense, but tell us about their defense, because if they're going to win the national championship, they're going to have a great defense.
Yeah, very interesting comments from Matt Barkley, the quarterback, saying that our defense is definitely ahead of the offense, and it's national championship caliber. And for him to say that was definitely raised a little bit of eyebrows. Everybody would think they would talk about the offense, even though there was a lot of guys hurt. You know, you mentioned Flournoy stepping up. Well, a lot of that was Robert Woods was sitting out. Marquise Lee was limited in the spring. They didn't really have any tight ends. You know, you were looking for a guy like that to step up. And I think if he can, as a speedy guy, can contribute, that's going to help him going forward. And on the defense, I think depth is an issue. I think the secondary's come along a little bit better than what a lot of people think. I think, you know, especially at safety, I think they have guys that can line up next to T.J. McDonald and do well. I think the cornerbacks, you know, Isaiah Wiley is a guy that impressed a lot of people in spring. You got Nickel Roby, who's one of the top corners in the West Coast.
I like him.
Nickel Roby,
yeah.
And I think, you know, the defensive line is going to be solid. I think they need to find some depth at defensive tackle. I'm going to be interested to see if any of the incoming guys can contribute. And I think Tony Burnett, he was a cornerback safety guy for him last year. He moved up into linebacker. A lot of people were impressed with him at how he did as an outside linebacker. They're going to put up a lot of speed on the field this year, and I think that's getting back to those, you know, Pete Carroll type defenses of 03, 04, 05. Yeah. A lot of speed on the field for those guys, and then they kind of got away with that, went bigger, and they struggled. But I think they're going to have a very good defense that can create turnovers, that can force things, and I think it's going to be a definite strength of the team. And the offense is obviously going to be there with a Heisman guy under center and you know, solid wide receivers.
One word. What is USC's weakness?
Depth. I mean, if you know, the one thing that I think a lot of people overlooked last year, and it was a great season, but not very many people got hurt. And if they can repeat that success this year, that's going to be huge for them. If not, if they get some injured guys, you know, look out. They could go downhill in a hurry.
Louisville spring game, Darce. Teddy Bridgewater. Ooh. 19 of 21, and his two incompletions were drops. 257 yards and three touchdowns. Former walk-on Scott Radcliffe was the top receiver. You know what I like about Bridgewater? He was kind of a stick last year. He gained 18 pounds, and he weighs 213. They only have 9 seniors on this team, Louisville, but I love him.
Everyone's going to be watching this team coming this season. I mean, they're really they're well-coached, and this Bridgewater kid is going to be great. I mean, it's going to be a good team. This is going to be a good team to watch.
Never a good sign, though, when your defense was this bad in the spring game, though. I mean, he could have been 21 of 21. That's got to be a concern.
Oh, I think it is. But you know what? I think based on what Charlie Strong has done in the past, you know, you got to give credit to him and say he's going to fix a few things. Obviously, they got some guys coming in with one of their best recruiting classes that they've had in a while that I think could contribute in spots for them. And I think, you know, it's just a team that is going to be well-coached and knows what's coming at them. And I think there's going to be consistency from them. I didn't really see that last year. But this year, especially on offense, they're going to have some consistency. They're going to mix things up. And I really think they're a team to watch in the Big East.
Darst.
Yes.
A lot of spring games coming up this weekend.
There are a lot of games.
What are you looking at?
All right, here's a few things I notched down on my notepad here and see where you guys stand.
Okay.
We'll start in the ACC.
Well, you pick some real boring topics here, so at least use a little discretion here.
All right, we're not going to go through all of them, but I'm going to pick some. You know what's funny is? The team I won't say anything about, that's the one the email say, how come you never talk about this? So real quick, we'll just go through a couple of Maryland spring games this week. Obviously, they got a little bit of a quarterback issue. C.J. Brown's probably going to be the starter, but he only completed 49% of his passes.
Well, he's a runner.
I know, but he's going to have to throw a little better than that. So let's see what happens with them. Also, new defensive coordinator, Brian Stewart, 3-4 scheme this year. So let's see what happens in the spring game.
I don't love when teams adjust to a new defense. I think usually year two is a lot better.
Well, that's true. It does. It takes a year or two to adjust. So that's going to be something to watch.
Yeah, but I think Brian Stewart, he's a very good coordinator. Did a lot. Really turned Houston around.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they were awful. And then you know, he got them to be very solid. And I think it's going to be interesting. I mean, Randy Edsall, run the ball and play defense. That's kind of been his style. And we'll see if this team can shift into that. I still think they're going to struggle, and it's hard to get worse than they were last year, so they're obviously going to be better.
Randy Edsall did maybe the worst job amongst FBS coaches last year.
Such a great start, too. They beat Miami, and then it just all collapsed.
Yeah, so it's a big year for Randy Edsall. He needs to turn around. What else you got?
All right, Virginia Tech, listen. Four offensive starters on the line are gone, okay? They only gave up 17 sacks last year. So let's see what this new offensive line can do. I know they're going to be leaning on Andrew Miller. He's the only starter coming back. I'm interested to see what happens in the spring game, if they're able to run the ball or how successful they are, you know, pass protection and stuff like that. So that's something to keep an eye on this weekend with Virginia Tech.
Yeah, I mean, they have pieces to win the ACC again.
Sure.
But you know what? They do lose a ton of guys. And Frank Beamer, over the years, they've maybe started a little bit slow when they've gotten those guys in early in the season, getting them in, you know, seasoned in terms of playing time. But he's always done it, and I wouldn't expect anything, especially when you talk about a quarterback and Logan Thomas, who a lot of people think he's going to take that next step. And working with guys in the offseason, everybody's been very impressed with what he did last year. I think if they can keep him upright, Virginia Tech's still the team to beat in the ACC.
What about Clemson?
I'll give you Clemson.
I think Florida State is much more talented than Virginia Tech. I don't even think it's close. They're in another world. If their offensive line, I know I say this every week, but if their offensive line can play well, then they're the best team in the ACC.
They're one of the teams every year that's in contention for the ACC.
They don't have to be the most talented team to win the ACC because they're always so well coached. A name to remember: Michael Holmes. He had a 60-yard rushing touchdown in a recent scrimmage. So they need a new running back. And they've had their last three running backs, really, Darren Evans, Ryan Williams, and David Wilson, have been outstanding players. We'll see if Holmes can follow their footsteps. By the way, Logan Thomas threw four touchdowns in that same scrimmage. So he is having a good spring. Darcy, you're up again.
Syracuse. I know that, you know, we don't give Syracuse a lot of time.
Give him some love.
But I hope I say this kid's name right. Ashton Broiled.
If you went to Alabama, you'd say his name, right?
A very highly recruited quarterback. They're talking about using this kid in the backfield, under center, maybe using him as a wide receiver, trick play. He's got a lot of speed, so we don't know how much he's going to be utilized. So in the spring game, let's see if they let the fans and the public know how much they use him. That'd be interesting to watch for. Minnesota, Jerry Kill, no one's saying anything for sure, but the rumors are that this freshman quarterback, Philip Nelson, is really pushing Marquise Gray, the senior. So that'll be interesting.
Why not? It's not like Gray was so good.
I know, but you're going to start a freshman right away?
Why not?
He was one of the top quarterbacks in the country last year, coming out of high school. Very solid. Fits that system that Jerry Kill wants to run. And look, Marquise Gray, he was just inconsistent. I mean, he was, you look at, go back to early last season, they were playing USC very close.
Oh, yeah.
And they had a chance to win the game on a last-minute drive. Marquise Gray was not in there. And
no, I know. I remember that.
So, he brings a lot physically to that program, but you just need to look for the consistency. And if Nelson, who can throw the ball very well, if he can deliver that, I wouldn't be surprised to see both of them play.
I think Bridgewater is a perfect example. He didn't start this season.
No.
Yeah.
But he was behind a terrible quarterback, and he quickly became the starter and definitely went through some growing pains, because I remember watching the first Louisville game, and he came in for a series and he was terrible. He was erratic. He was throwing the ball high, but obviously became a pretty good quarterback by the end. You're not going to win the Big Ten this year, Minnesota. So I like rolling with the
young
guys.
What, are you counting the Gophers out already?
I am. Because Ohio State is next up on your list.
Ohio State. Listen,
but they're not going to win the conference either. Go ahead.
We've talked about it before. I just want to mention there's a lot of talk about throwing the ball a lot more during the spring game on Saturday. So we'll see what happens there. Plus, remember Ohio State, they returned 9 starters on defense, and a team was 19th in yards permitted. So this could be a defensive-heavy team as the offense gets going in Urban Meyer's new system.
Luke Fickell back as well, too. So that's,
yes,
that's
he's a defensive coordinator.
They're going to be great on defense. But here's the thing about wanting to throw the ball more. Remember when Tim Tebow wasn't going to run the ball as much? That was 2 years in a row we heard that, and it was garbage. And the bottom line is Urban Meyer is going to do what it takes to win.
Of course.
And if he doesn't have the receivers, because right now Philly Brown is looking at like their number one, and Jake Stoneburner is lined up at wide receiver. If they don't have the receivers to get it done, then they're going to be 3rd and 10, quarterback draw.
Well, they're also going to be in a situation where if they're only giving up 13, 16 points a game, man, then they're going to just be able to do what old Ohio State did. Win games 19-16. That's the way it is.
Now you're scaring the Ohio State fans.
I know.
Return to trestle ball. No. I mean, look, Teddy Bridgewater, Teddy Bridgewater. See, yeah. See, you got me going. Braxton Miller, one of the top quarterbacks, I think, in the Big Ten, can take that next step this sophomore year.
You think so? You think he's one of the top quarterbacks in the
Big
Ten?
There are not a lot of good quarterbacks in the Big Ten.
But you like it better than McGloin?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm just kidding.
Yes. I mean, he showed a lot last year. I mean, you talk about the comeback wins at the end. I think he was hampered by the system and what they did. You could see the talent, kind of come through at times. And he was really just kind of, as a freshman, really tunnel visioned. They really kind of kept him in a limited playbook. I think with Urban Meyer there, they can open him up. I think he can throw the ball very well. I think a lot of people in Ohio raved that he was one of the better passers coming out of the state since Troy Smith. I think he's a guy that's dynamic enough to do a lot, especially with you're talking about that spread offense that Urban Meyer runs. Getting through the spring will be a huge help for him, and I think it's just this is a team that could compete for the Big Ten title if they weren't ineligible for it. I think they could be on that road to Indianapolis. They have the talent to defense. They can get enough out of that offense with an offensive-minded coach that knows what he's doing. I think the Buckeyes can have a very good season this year.
It's a great point.
Real quick note, too, we're talking about McGloin. Penn State, hopes are high in Penn State. Bill O'Brien's coming in. He's got, listen, settle down, people. Matt McGloin, Rob Bolden. That's not Tom Brady you're going to see out there.
No.
So they're going to be going through some growing pains.
They have some decent talent on offense, though. They still have Silas Red. They got Justin Brown, Devin Smith returning at receiver, and I'm sure their defense will be solid. But, yeah, these guys, they could be really good receivers, but they caught like 5 touchdowns combined last year. These quarterbacks are just bad. You're right, though, Brian, about Big Ten quarterbacks. Cousins is gone. Russell Wilson is gone.
Yeah,
it's a bad crop. Dan Persis is gone.
Yeah, I mean, you look at Denard Robinson. I mean, he's the player of the year, I think, in the Big Ten coming back. But, throwing-wise, how much more of a progression is he going to have, especially when they're talking about, oh, we're going to do more pro-style stuff with him. You got to let a guy like that run. And I think with Ohio State, they're going to let Braxton Miller run and do what he does best. And getting him out of the pocket, getting that throwing lane clear, I think it's going to be a big help for him in year two. And obviously having a coach that knows how to utilize those talents is going to be big.
Darce, let's do 2 more. Let's do Oklahoma State and Notre Dame.
I have 3 more because I'm going to mention something about Tennessee, but it's a one-liner. But Oklahoma State, real quick, obviously replacing Brandon Weeden. They got Clint Chelf, redshirt freshman J.W. Walsh, and an early enrollee in Wes Lunt. All these guys have been splitting time. It's going to be interesting. Let's see what happens in the spring game and who performs the best. I think the competition is kind of wide open here in Oklahoma State, so let's see what happens with those two.
Yeah,
with
but
three, sorry.
Mike Gundy does want to name a quarterback before the end of the summer. He doesn't want to go into the fall practice without a number one quarterback, which is interesting. You know, a lot of schools wait until a week before the first game. So that's something to keep an eye on.
I think Chelf, just in talking with a few people, he was a guy that they said, all right, he would get the job if he could create some separation, and he hasn't done that. J.W. Walsh, big-time thrower, brings a lot of other things to the table. Wes Lunt, another guy that they like and has done pretty well as a freshman. I think Gundy yesterday was saying he was surprised at how well he's picked everything up. So I don't think they might name a starter, but at the end of the spring. But he might not be the guy in the fall. These two guys could grow pretty well.
All right, real quick, Tennessee. Do we all remember Tyler Bray's 5-for-30 performance last spring? He's got to have a better spring, right?
Tell you, but it does tell you what to make of spring games, and that's not much.
Yeah,
it's like spring
because
training.
He was fantastic during the regular season.
Dude, he's awesome. Are you kidding? He's good. He might be the most talented quarterback in the SEC. I love Tyler Bray.
Oh, yeah. He's, I mean,
more than Aaron Murray of Georgia?
You keep forgetting about Tyler Wilson. He's the best quarterback in the conference. Aaron Murray is number two, in my opinion.
And then so where's Tyler Bray, number three?
Tyler Bray, it wouldn't surprise me if he has the best year.
You just said he would.
It wouldn't surprise me. I love Tyler Bray.
I'm going to say it early. Don't be dumb.
Okay. Look, I'm going out on a limb a little bit on that one. But okay. I'm
with you.
Thank
I'm with you.
All right, Fisher, don't be dumb too.
I mean, he's the heart and soul of their team. You look at what they did with him in the lineup, and you look afterwards. I mean, it was like night and day. He gives them consistency. He's been in the environment in the SEC. I mean, he was thrown out into the fire as a freshman and did pretty well. I mean, he gives them a good option. He's got some targets on the outside.
They had no running game. That was a huge problem.
Of course.
That's always, and if they can correct that and give him some help there, you know what, Tennessee, I think they could surprise a lot of people, but I still, at the end of the day, don't think Derek Dooley escapes this year.
So. Yeah, I will be surprised when they're 7-6 or 6-7 or whatever their record is.
Yeah, it's just not going to cut
They're going to play 13 this year, huh? Oh, the bowl game. I see.
All right, and real quick, too, on Notre Dame, obviously the whole quarterback situation there, Everett Golson, Hendricks, Reese, and Gunnar Keel all competing. And the other thing, too, real quick, losing Aaron Lynch. So it looks like this new guy, Capron Lewis Moore, is going to be starting instead of Lynch in the blue gold game. So we'll see how he does.
Let's read some emails from DA. West Virginia is selling tickets for $10 as opposed to having no admission like other FBS programs. Granted, West Virginia is giving a portion of the proceeds from the game to benefit the West Virginia University Children's Hospital. And over $600,000 has been raised from the game since 1984. But the point is, how many fans did he want at the spring game?
30,000.
Yeah, you're not going to do it at $10.
You know what's funny as you mentioned that? I was reading about NC State's spring game. It's free, but they asked for a donation.
That's fine.
And that way, people give, somebody give 5, some may give 10, some may give 20, 10, 5, and that adds up, and then they donate that money to the K. Yao Foundation. So that's great. To charge $10, it's kind of ridiculous.
I think the donations
are a lot of schools now are starting to charge for their spring games. I mean, it's not.
Yeah, but if you're Alabama getting $90,000, you can charge. If you're West Virginia and you've sold 3,000 tickets, might be a little hard to charge.
Yeah, I mean, I don't agree with charging for it. I think you should make it a big experience for the fans. You want to get 30,000 people there,
right?
And I don't. I mean, it's one thing to do it in Morgantown. If you're doing it in Los Angeles, they're definitely going to be. I'm not going to pay for that. So
it's a cool way for fans who don't usually get to have great seats.
Yeah,
to go to a game and not have to pay top dollar for great seats. It's kind of a cool
experience. And with a lot of people closing practices now, limiting the media access. I mean, it's a lot. It's really the only time you're going to get to see your guys for the spring.
Here's Tim in Arlington. While I support a playoff over our broken bowl system, a playoff will not eliminate all controversy of yielding a national champion. Case in point, the NCAA tournament has become so fat and in effect the champion of a low major conference, a Power 6 team with barely above a .500 winning percentage, and the number one AP-ranked team all have a chance at the title.
Yeah, what's the problem?
Yeah, I read this email a few times and I was like, but what is your point?
Yeah, what's the problem? It's supposed to be where everybody in the NCAA college basketball tournament, everybody has an equal shot of making the tournament. You win your conference, you're in the tournament.
I think he's saying this. I think he's saying if we expand the field too much, we're going to get inferior teams that could get lucky that win the championship.
You mean like wild card teams in the NFL? I hear lots of controversy about how the Giants won the playoffs as a wild card team. Nobody cares. You win the playoff, you win the tournament, you're the champion. That's all there is to it. There's no controversy at the end of it.
Just, I agree.
Just win, baby. Just win.
Just win.
But Tim's a good guy.
He's a good guy. And I'm trying to rip him. But
lot, so you be nice.
I am being nice, but it doesn't matter. That's the whole point of a playoff, to determine who is the champion. You know what's funny is we had this discussion before. The playoff may not determine the best team, but it determines who the champion is. Right now, we don't know who the champion is or who the best team is.
That's a great point. That's a good way to end it. Actually, the best way to end it is by having Brian settle a debate that Darce and I have been having for several weeks. Gaudier, somebody that I used to know, good or bad?
They're okay.
Thanks for settling the debate,
buddy. I mean, you know, it's like you listen to them and, you know, sometimes you're like, oh, that's
all
right.
That one particular song, though.
Yeah, yeah, I like that one song.
Thank you.
Oh, this is dreadful. You guys are new buddies now. You guys are Yankee buddies, Red Hot Chili Peppers, somebody that I used to know buddies. That's fine.
Excellent. Brian, thanks a lot, man.
No
appreciate
problem.
It. That's Brian Fisher, our Pac-12 and recruiting blogger. Jaden Aaron Darst, our phoner inner. And I'm Adam Hazer. Talk to you later.